get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you were 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 265 of the Reporter. Right now, we're rocking out to some Joe off of that Double Back Evolution R&B album. This is Easy. Rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, y'all. It is a Saturday afternoon, man. A dreary Saturday afternoon here in Allen Park, Michigan and shit. Supposed to storm later today, so we're going to get this in. And hopefully, like, the power don't go out, the cable don't go out, the internet don't go out. We've been having them kind of issues here lately. Let me turn this shit off. But, yeah, man, that's been a thing, man, here lately. I had to call Comcast yesterday, like, yo, get this shit together. Like, for real. But, yo, man, episode 265. You know, we've been doing this for a little while now. Yo, man, I had a little time off of work yesterday. Your man Span been dealing with some back issues, man. This shit is like not cool at all, bro. Never mind. I'm not gonna even tell that story. Can't tell that story. It's a little bit too personal. Just, you know, back pain and constitutionals. You know, they don't mix. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we got that going on. Before we get into the show, man, let me let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll play those messages here live on the show and respond in kind. And if you're watching the show live here on Crowdcast, then yeah, man, you can chop it up with your man Span here, right here live on the show, man. Real talk. You can also hit us up on our email here, feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. You can go there, leave us those emails, and of course those emails will get read here live on the show and responded to as well. Follow your man Span on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. _Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, you can hit us up on our website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we put one up. You can like leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. And also, you can hit up our Patreon, man. Those Patreon patrons are the golden circle of the Span Report Podcast Network. They are the ones who allow for us to continue to do this here show live on Crowdcast, man. Real talk. So we really do appreciate each and every last one of those people who put up those extra dollars on a monthly basis to allow us to keep doing this, man. Real talk. We really do appreciate each and every last one of them. And also, man, you can go and hit up our store. Get yourself some podcast merch, man. Get you some Span Report stuff. Get you some Baywatch stuff. Get you some beer and chicken stuff. Man, we got a lot of shit in the store, man. Mouse pads, you know, iPad covers. All sorts of stuff is in that TeePublic store, man. So we really do appreciate you guys who go about the business of going ahead and supporting us in that way. And also, finally, 5-star reviews, man. It's been a while. 5-star reviews really do help. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. They are one way to put down for the show. Doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple minutes of your time to tell people why it is that you mess with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. It's been a minute. As a matter of fact, it's been a minute for the phone calls, too, man. I mean, I kind of don't want to take it personal. You know what I'm saying? You know, I go out here, man, week after week, and I'm giving y'all this, you know, this hot fire. You know what I'm saying? This hot fire. And sometimes, man, I just be kind of feeling like, man, like, this some bullshit, man. Ain't nobody called a nigga or nothing. And I don't want to cry on the mic and shit, but, like, I just kind of feel like, oh, shit.
What the matter?
There you go.
You can't. Call nobody.
Oh, nigga, I couldn't even set that shit up right. but there's a bit of an update, man. Finally, the iPad works. So finally, the iPad works. I can actually use my iPad now for the bumpers and stuff like that, man. Because y'all know that was a thing. It took an iOS update for it to work. I think what the problem may have been is that I had a beta on the iPad, man. Y'all not good with the betas. I'm going to just say that, too. Y'all not good with the betas. It shouldn't break, you know, the headphone jack. It shouldn't. But, yeah, man, it works. I can use this, and it's a little bit more organized than the way that I had it on my Galaxy Tab. I still got the Galaxy Tab over here as backup, just in case. But, yeah, man, that's going on. But enough of me just rambling on, man. Let's get into the shit. Let's get into the news. All right. So the first story here in the news, man, is and this has been all over the news over the course of this last week, is apparently Donald Trump is in some fuck shit, you know, involved in some fuck shit again, as if we were all surprised about that. Right. But this time they didn't got Nancy Pelosi up off her shoulders, man. She out here talking about some, yeah, we gonna open up some official impeachment inquiries. Come on, man. Yeah, man. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Politico.com. It says the majority of the House now backs impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump, a significant milestone as Democrats move rapidly on an impeachment inquiry. As of Wednesday night, 218 lawmakers have indicated support for impeachment proceedings. 217 Democrats and independent Representative Justin Amash. Speaker Nancy Pelosi offered full-throated support for impeachment proceedings amid outrage over Trump pressuring the Ukraine to investigate the Biden family, leading to a surge of support among Democrats this week. Since the start of the year, a steady stream of Democrats has backed impeachment proceedings or even outright impeachment, either through public statements or votes. Until this week, the bulk of impeachment inquiry backers cited the results of a former special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Trump's campaign links to Russia and whether Trump attempted to obstruct the probe. Now, been a lot of talk about this impeachment stuff. The impeachment inquiry is like, you know, they're looking into it. Like, that's the thing. It's been built up as this, like, this really, really big thing. But it's like it's like the beginning stages of, like, we're going to look into some shit. And, you know, like, it's been the long, like, Nancy Pelosi has been one of those people who has been like reticent to even jump into these waters, because for one, she doesn't believe that the nation really backs the whole thing about impeachment. And truth be told, man, judging from the way that like just judging from some of the things that I see on social media and judging from the way that I see how people interact when I interact with people personally, like most people ain't really paying attention to a lot of this shit, man. Like they may say something like, yeah, Donald Trump fucked up, but they're not really paying a whole lot of attention. And so I think what Nancy Pelosi was trying to do was say like, hey, man, if we're going to go about this in a way where we got public support to kind of move things forward. Because, you know, you think about what's going on with the Senate, truth be told, without the Senate, it's not as if Donald Trump is going to be removed. So and it is highly unlikely that Donald Trump is going to be removed by the Senate, even with them opening up the impeachment inquiry and everything else. I think going into this stage of the presidential campaigns, you know, we start like it's getting to a point where like we about to go into this year where, you know, people are about to start dropping out of the race. And it's about to get more and more hectic. You're going to have this impeachment inquiry going on, and it's going to be a way for them to expose a lot of the things that the Trump administration has been doing on a criminal level. And maybe in, you know, kind of educate the voting public on how corrupt this administration has been. I mean, because you got people who, like, even after the Mueller report came out, they refused to read it. They refused to even look into it. They got a podcast of the Mueller report. Motherfuckers just didn't, they didn't care. You know what I'm saying? No matter how corrupt they thought Donald Trump was going to be, they simply did not care. And there wasn't the large scale support for impeachment in the ways in which the Democrats thought that they should have, you know, support for an impeachment. And so Nancy Pelosi has kind of been like on the sidelines, like, yo, we just don't have that support yet. Right. This particular instance is like yet another example of Donald Trump doing some shit where they're just like, all right, man, like our hands up. I got to put my hands up. This is enough. Right. Now, one of the things that I've been thinking that was like kind of interesting is like how they've been interacting with Trump appointees, Trump, you know, witnesses and things like that in front of like the Senate. I'm not the Senate, but like the House Judiciary Committee and the House Oversight Committee and things like that. They're calling these people in front of them, and these people are refusing to answer questions. These people are openly mocking the proceedings. And my only thing is like, yo, man, when they are openly being in contempt of what y'all got going on, why ain't they going to jail? Why ain't y'all locking these motherfuckers up until they, you know, do, you know, give you these answers that you're seeking? Like, because honestly, if people see that, like, yo, Donald Trump is able to like just kind of flout this shit, like, man, fuck them people. Like, you ain't gotta answer them damn questions. I'm the president. Fuck them people. And y'all see yourselves as a co-equal branch of government, and y'all don't exert y'all authority. Come on, man. Like, this is kind of how this is like making Democrats look weak, and y'all have a reputation for looking weak. You know what I'm saying? Republicans, to a large degree, they just like, man, fuck it. We ain't gotta follow them rules. Y'all caught up in the rigmarole of them rules. Man, fuck all that. I ain't doing that shit. That's how they roll. So, yeah, man, it's been big news that Donald Trump, you know, they're talking about the impeachment inquiry and everything else. It's big, but at the same time, it's like also just the tipping and the starting point. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't want to get us, you know, jump ahead of our skis here and just be like, oh, man, he about to get moved up out of there. No, because by the time they get finished with everything, I believe they really wanted to get a very thorough investigation as to whether or not Donald Trump has been as corrupt as they allege he has been. Yo, it's going to be time for us to go to vote. And ultimately, the responsibility, if you are someone who believes that Donald Trump is a negative effect on this country, if you are someone who believes that Donald Trump has dubious intentions towards the things that you care about, then yo, even though that they are trying to do this impeachment inquiry and trying to get him moved out of office in that way, the ultimate way to get Donald Trump up out of office is to vote his ass out. Get your ass out to the polls. Go vote. That's how you got to do that. You know what I'm saying? So although I support them going ahead and doing the impeachment inquiries and all these other things, ultimately, we still got to take our ass to the polls. And that's what I don't want people to have the idea that just because they're going to get him up out of there. Nah, you got to get him up out of there. That's your role as a citizen, to get his ass up out of there. Go ahead. Go to the polls. Go vote if you think that Donald Trump is a piece of shit ass president. Real talk. So that's in the news. Also, while we're talking about Donald Trump, well, it's funny, right? So Donald Trump's administration has actually recognized white nationalism as a major terror threat in the United States. Okay. Yo, I mean, come on, iPad. Come on, man. Jesus. We're going to read the story here. This comes out of Complex.com. It says, Secretary Kevin McAllen revealed that the Department of Homeland Security will focus on addressing the threat of white nationalism for the first time in the country's history. Today, the United States faces an evolving threat environment and a threat of terrorism and targeted violence within our borders that is more diverse than at any time since the 9/11 attacks. McClellan said while announcing the country's new counterterrorism strategy during an event at the Brookings Institute. The report claims that domestic terrorists represents a growing share of the threat to the homeland. The DHS also believes that there has been a spike in white nationalist rhetoric that is directly correlated to the explosion of the internet. The agency wants to halt the spread of information operations intended to promote radicalization to violent extremism or mobilization to violence that is present on social media and other online forums. It is through these avenues that radicalized nationalists have gained what is described as an increasingly transnational outlook in recent years. Similar to how ISIS inspired and connected with potential radical Islamic terrorists, white supremacists, violent extremists connect with like-minded individuals online, the report states. In addition to mainstream social media platforms like white supremacists, violent extremists use lesser-known sites like Gab, 8chan, and Enchan, as well as encrypted channels. Celebration of violence and conspiracy theories about the ethnic replacement of whites as the majority ethnic and ethnicity in various Western countries are prominent in their online searches. Now, interestingly enough, Candace Owens was in front of the Revolt Summit last week, week before last, and they were talking about white nationalism, or better yet, Candace Owens took her ass before Congress to say that she doesn't think that white nationalism is a problem at all. And to that, I mean, a motherfucker just be like,
it's not never, not never.
Or better yet,
you need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
Yeah, man, because basically, this is why that was such bullshit, man. To have that woman on that damn panel, disingenuous as it was, to have that woman brought up in that panel at the House, I believe that was the House Oversight or Judiciary Committee panel, to have her on there simply to derail the conversation. They had a panel of experts on there, and then there's Candace Owens, whose level of expertise is, well, I'm a black woman in America. Yeah, but like 90% of black people ain't really fucking with you. So you don't even so like, and then on top of that, to you, like, it's weird, man, because like, she used racism as a way to get a settlement. She had the NAACP on her side at one time when she was in high school, said she was being harassed in high school by some racist white folks. And now all of a sudden racism isn't a thing. White nationalism and white racism isn't a thing. And you going before the national, you going before Congress to say this shit? Like, come on, man. I'm getting upset about this shit already. But yeah, man. So the Department of Homeland Security, Donald Trump's Department of Homeland Security is now acknowledging white nationalism as a terror threat within the United States. The funny thing about that is that, like, for one, you can look at this two ways, right? Hey, there's some competent people working at the Department of Homeland Security. And although Donald Trump may have appointed like the head of that, like the people that work below that have been doing some diligent work despite who the president was, and they put forth this report, and now the Department of Homeland Security with this particular head, this Donald Trump appointee at the head of it, you know, puts it out, you know, it's like, yo, man, this is what it is. The other part about that is whether or not the Trump administration will cynically put this out as a way to say, well, hey, y'all call us racist, but we are recognizing the fact that, like, yo, white nationalism is a problem. The thing about that, though, is that, like, you've had Donald Trump's own statements talking to the contrary of this, right? So, you know, it's as if Donald Trump wants to have it both ways. Like, well, I don't think this is a problem, but this is a problem that my department says it is. It's almost like the whole thing with like the fake news thing, right? So Donald Trump's attorney went on like CNN, and he cited a CNN story about what was it about? It was funny because Donald Trump always calls CNN fake news. But then Donald Trump's attorney goes on CNN to cite a CNN story when the CNN story benefited Donald Trump. It's kind of weird how that works, or really it isn't. If you're paying attention, you see it. But yeah, man, like the Department of Homeland Security finally recognizes white nationalism as a problem in the United States. And black people around the world are like, yeah, nigga, we told y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, we wasn't just making this up. You know what I'm saying? Like, we see this shit. Everybody sees this shit. It just takes y'all forever to acknowledge the thing that everybody is looking at right there in your face. So that's in the news. Another story that's in the news, man. Here in Detroit, here in Detroit, there's a problem with the police. And the reason why there's a problem with the police is because, yo, man, the police be lying. They be lying, and they be lying so much so that they be lying so much so that, like, people, like, the actual district attorney has to decline prosecuting certain cases because the police be lying so much. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of the DetroitNews.com. It says that dozens of Detroit police officers likely cannot testify in court because they've been disciplined for being untruthful, which experts say undermines their credibility and discourages prosecutors from pursuing certain cases. Of the 2,484 officers sworn on the Detroit police force, there are currently 74 DPD officers who have been found to have been untruthful, a city attorney wrote in a response to the Detroit News Freedom of Information request. However, 20 of those instances cannot be confirmed as disciplinary records were destroyed. Jack Dietrich, the city's FOIA coordinator, added, therefore, at this time, DPD can only affirmatively state that 54 officers have been found untruthful. While 54 officers is only 2% of the police force and 70%, 74 about 3%, Chief James Craig said, still says that that's too many. This is an issue, Craig said. You can't have these officers in certain units. If we make an arrest and if you have an officer with a disciplinary discipline history of untruthfulness, prosecutors may not charge the suspect and dangerous criminals might get away. Wayne County Assistant Prosecutor Maria Miller said that the prosecutor's office has declined to move forward with criminal cases because of officers' untruthfulness, as did Bell Valancourt, Livingston County Prosecutor and President of the Prosecutor and Attorneys Association of Michigan. This isn't just a Detroit problem or even a Michigan problem. Prosecutors are dealing with this issue across the country, Valancourt said. I've had this come up and come up with cases. The more serious cases usually involve more than one officer. But with, say, a drunk driving case, there have been times where we've declined to move forward because the officer had been found lying in the past. Cops with such blemishes on their record are called gigolo impaired. Okay. Giglio impaired. After Giglio versus United States, a case in which the U.S. Supreme Court granted a man a new trial because prosecutors didn't inform the defense about a deal they negotiated with a witness not to prosecute him in exchange for his testimony. So, yeah, man, it goes to that whole thing about, you know, like, the benefit of the doubt. In most cases, man, like when it comes to the benefit of the doubt, especially when you're dealing with the criminal justice system, the police officer is always given the benefit of the doubt. And so whether you being truthful or not, you got a cop there and he may be respected. He may be a respected police officer and everything else, but you know, he might be a lying piece of shit too, especially considering the nature of the case. And so for the, you know, for them to finally acknowledge that, like, yo, police officers are out here, they lying, man. It's a problem to the degree where they can't prosecute the cases. So here's why it's fucked up. Because one, you got people who may be in jail that doesn't necessarily deserve to be there because the officer is lying. And two, you got people who may not be in jail, who should be in jail because the officer is lying. You know what I'm saying? Like they fucking it up both ways, man. So, yeah, man, the police out here need to be honest in your dealings with the public and with the, you know, law, you know, and everything. So that's been the news, y'all. This delay, Jesus. Hey, Stephanie, what's up, fam? How you doing? But y'all know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
It is Blue Blazes time, and our first story here in Blue Blazes is, man, so check this out. I hope y'all are ready. Some of y'all are not, and I know you're not, because I seen the reactions on social media to this story. But guess what, niggas? They about to make New Jack City again. They about to reboot that motherfucker. Man, I'm ready to throw this iPad across the damn room right now. Jesus Christ. But we're going to read this story here. This comes from Shadow and Act, man. It says, New Jack City reboot and development at Warner Brothers. The reboot mania continues. In an exclusive report at Deadline, it has been revealed that the classic neo-noir crime film, New Jack City, is being rebooted at Warner Brothers. No director is attached right now, but Snowfall's Malcolm M. Maze is attached to pen the script. The original 1991 film was Mario Van Peebles' directorial debut, and he starred in it with Wesley Snipes, Ice-T, Chris Rock, Flavor Flav, Alan Payne, and others. Flavor Flav was... Yeah, he had it. Okay. The film follows Nino Brown, Snipes, a New York City drug lord, and a detective, Scotty Appleton, who goes undercover to infiltrate the group. Maze has several projects in different stages of development, including the Flint film starring T.I., which he is directing and producing. Man, they couldn't get nobody like Trick Trick or somebody like that from Detroit to do a Flint movie? Anyway. Yeah, man, so the New Jack City movie is coming back out, man. They're going to redo it. I see a lot of people in the damn chat rooms and stuff, like, or like on social media, man, why they don't just leave well enough alone, man. Same thing with like Coming to America. Don't nobody want to see the sequel to Coming to America, man. People are getting they upset about these live action remakes of these Disney movies and shit, man. I'ma just tell y'all this, and they told you this in New Jack City if you was paying attention.
My brother, it's always business, never personal.
It's money in this shit, man. Nino told you it was always business, never personal, man. I'm going to tell y'all this too, man. And this is going to get me in trouble. It's going to get me in trouble. I know y'all going to be mad. But New Jack City wasn't a good movie. I'm saying. Yeah, y'all can be mad. Y'all can boo. Y'all can throw tomatoes. All that shit. Wasn't a good movie. Y'all know damn well New Jack City wasn't a good movie. Y'all know how I know New Jack City wasn't a good movie? Like, come on, man. Think about this. Ice-T couldn't act. The script was kind of shaky. So, like, the whole thing with the Carter, right? Now, I remember, like, as a kid watching this movie, and Nino Brown lays out, it wasn't even a blueprint. Right, it wasn't even a blueprint of the car. It was just like this picture of the car. And he's like, "Yeah, man, we gonna have a distribution. We gonna make the product here, right? And then we gonna have lookouts over here, 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 and here. And then, we gonna have one place to make our product, one place to connect our money. We gonna own this city, right? And at the time, you look at everybody, even in the movie, they're like, man, Nino, you's a genius, man." And like the other man was like about to have a seizure, trying to tell him he was an unadulterated genius. All that shit, it's a brilliant plan. And I'm thinking, as a kid, I'm like, man, that shit sound gangster. Then I watched that shit as an adult. Was like, that was the stupidest motherfucking plan ever, dude. Like, think about this. Why would you have your money and your drugs at the same place at the same time? So when the police do finally come through, like they did in the movie, they got all your shit. And all of the incriminating evidence. You don't separate nothing. Right? And if they shut down your little spot, that one spot, you ain't got no other alternative spots to kind of, like mitigate these losses that you're going to take when they take the Carter. Come on, man. Movie wasn't good. Upon like rewatch, prom rewatch, man, like as an adult. Because as a kid, I think that movie came out, I was 11. And I remember niggas getting dressed up. Like, this is back in the day, bro. Like, I remember niggas getting dressed up. We didn't have multiplexes. You had, like, the movie theater. And they might have had two screens on that motherfucker. And back in the day, we used to have this movie theater. It was on 6 Mile and Schaefer. The Mercury Theater. That was the fancy one. And you go to the Mercury, man. And I remember when New Jack City came out, man. Niggas in Detroit came out there in their finest Pelly Pellies. You know what I'm saying? Niggas had their gators on to go to the movies. This is the other part, too, that was always kind of funny to me. Nigga, you going to the movies, bro. Like, it's going to be dark in there. You're going to be sitting down. Ain't nobody going to see your clothes, man. But that was a thing, though. So when New Jack City came out, man, niggas was excited. Like, you had a whole bunch of dope boys that was excited about they go see their hero and all this other shit. Like I said, man, as an adult watching that movie, I'm just like, wasn't that good. Script wasn't that good. Ice-T couldn't act at the time. I mean, truth be told, Ice-T is pretty much just being himself on New York. SVU. He pretty much just being himself wearing Gucci and shit. Tutuola is just Ice-T with a badge. That's it. Yeah, like, I'm just saying, y'all gonna be mad. Y'all got every reason to be mad at your boy. But I'm telling you the truth. That movie wasn't good. So the fact that they are actually gonna remake the movie, I kind of feel like the remake can't be as bad as the motherfucking original. You know what I'm saying? They might be able to improve on this motherfucker. Like, y'all talking about, nah, man, you can't touch that. It's a classic. It's a classic badass movie. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and remake that motherfucker. Maybe you can improve on that bitch. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and remake it. I ain't mad at you. Get your bread. I'll probably go see it too. I go to the movie theater and see it. Hell, I went to go see Superfly. That shit was terrible. You know what I'm saying? So there we go, man. Blue Blazers, New Jack City, reboot in the works. Yeah, man, that's it. That's in Blue Blazers. Another story that's in Blue Blazers, man. So, oh man, so this headline is everything. A woman bites a camel to escape an attack at an enclosure in a Louisiana truck stop. Yeah, I never heard no kind of shit like that either. So we're going to read this story. This comes out of WAFB.com. It says a woman was sent to the hospital after biting the testicles of a camel that was sitting on her at the truck stop in Lostet, Louisiana, according to the Iberville Parish Sheriff's Office. On Thursday evening, a couple at the I-10 truck stop in Gros Tet was chasing after their deaf dog. Was chasing after their deaf dog ran away from them, Sheriff Brett Stassi said. The dog, according to Stassi, ran under the double barbed wire fence that fenced off the enclosure to the camel. The couple chased after the dog into the enclosure, meeting an agitated camel whose name is Casper. Sheriff Stassi said somehow the camel sat on the woman. The woman, possibly out of self-defense, bit the camel's testicles. The woman was sent to the hospital, according to the sheriff. The extent of her injuries has not been released. Casper has been in the enclosure since last summer, replacing truck stop's previous attraction, Tony the Tiger. Now, I'm okay. So, enlighten me, people. For real. Y'all got camels and tigers at the truck stop? Like, that's a thing? I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I've been down south before. I ain't never seen no fucking camel at the truck stop, though. Like, not at the gas station? Hey, come over here and see Casper the camel. Bite Casper the camel's nuts. Come on, man. Like, I understand. I understand why she, you know, is fight or flight, survival of the fittest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to get up out of here. But can you imagine, like, to have to tell this story? So I was chasing after my dog at the truck stop, and as I was chasing my dog, he ran into a camel enclosure at the truck stop, and then the camel sat on me, and I had to bite him on the balls. Like, I had to bite a camel on the balls. It was kind of salty, you know, a little dirty, you know, I had to do what I had to do to get the fuck up out of there. She had to bite a camel on the nuts, man. That's wild, man. I don't know. I ain't got shit else for you. I ain't got nothing else for you on that one. That's just some wild ass shit. A woman bite a camel on the balls at a truck stop in Louisiana. I never thought I'd see the day. Where that would be some shit that I'd be reading here on. It's much like,
Whoa. Now you got too much dip on your chip.
Yeah, she had too much dip on that motherfucker. All right. But yeah, that's in Blue Blazers, y'all. That is in Blue Blazers. Another story that we got here in Blue Blazers, man, is actually kind of some news here, y'all. So check this out. Forbes has come out with their annual list of the highest paid hip hop acts in the world. And somebody atop that list is somebody who you might not expect, given everything that's been going on with this dude. But he's number one on the list, and that's Kanye West.
God damn!
Yeah, man. Kanye West is the highest grossing hip hop act of 2019. So we're going to read the story out of Forbes. It's back in 2007. Kanye West released a song called Big Brother, an ode to Jay-Z. Indeed, catching on with the rock moguls Rockefeller Records 2 decades ago was West's first big break. Jay-Z even had a hand in coining West's nickname, Yeezy, which now graces his eponymous shoe line with Adidas. There was a beam of light on the idea of me making athletic footwear, West explained in an interview for the August cover of Forbes. A paradigm shift like the Yeezy is desired as much as a Jordan, which I can't fucking understand because they ugly as shit. But it says Yeezy is expected to top $1.5 billion in sales this year, or about half of what Nike's Air Jordan pulls in, boosting West's pre-tax income to $150 million over the past year and making him hip-hop's cash king for the first time ever. Another career first, West out-earned Jay-Z, who ranked second on this year's list with $81 million, buoyed by the tail end of his On the Run tour, tour with his wife Beyonce. Drake, the most streamed artist of any genre, rounds out the top three with $75 million. So, the reason why I put this in Blue Blazers is because we've been talking a lot about the whole idea of people being canceled, right? And one of the things that I think would have, I know Kanye West had a lot of motherfuckers upset with his support of Donald, excuse me, his support of Donald Trump, the way in which he expressed that support of Donald Trump, how he came about his support of Donald Trump, the people with whom he associated himself with, like Candace Owens, like we talked about a little bit before. I know I got on this podcast, like I was hurt, dude. Like I was hurt because I'm a Kanye West fan. You know what I'm saying? Like I had all the Kanye shit, even that terrible Yeezus album. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm a Kanye fan. Like one of my favorite albums of all time was that motherfucking My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. That shit just goes, man. I was listening to that shit in my car a couple days ago, and y'all don't know how hard it was for me to like just like kind of like let the shit play, because for it's for somebody like myself, man, it's hard sometimes for me to separate, you know, what I know about you with the art. I have a hard time separating the motherfucker from, you know, with the art and what you, I think one of the drawbacks of the social media is that we got so much access to these people, that we know so much about them, where we can't just appreciate the art for what it is, because we got all this other information being thrown at us by these artists themselves. A lot of times you feel like you can touch these artists because you have so much access to them on like the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams and everything else. And so you know so much more about them now than we ever did years ago. Like there may have been things Michael Jackson was doing years ago, you never fucking heard about it because you didn't have the social media and everything else, right? So there's that thing. But Kanye West, man, like despite the shit going on with his support of Donald Trump, has been able to move rather successfully through life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's that whole thing where people start talking about you being canceled and everything. I think the problem with the whole idea of being mad at quote unquote cancel culture is simply that you get to hear from people who got an opinion that I don't like this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's pretty much what it is. Like, nobody actually gets canceled. You get to hear from the people who, like, yo, man, they're vocal about they're not liking or having a disapproving opinion about what a person is doing or said or done. You know what I'm saying? Like, so Kanye West gets out here and he started talking about his support of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was the first person to make him feel like a man and all this other shit. You're like, nigga, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, people are still going out here buying them ugly ass Yeezys. You know what I'm saying? And like, it never, like, this. Here's the thing, right? So like when Yeezy was like with Nike, when he had the Nikes, there was one pair of Nikes that I really did like that he came out with. I never bought them, but there was one pair that he came out, like, I would rock those. But everything else, like especially the shit that he's come out with Adidas, I'm like, man, what the fuck is that? But people rock with it because, you know, I guess they're fashion forward and all this other shit. They like it, right? More power to y'all. More power to y'all. But like the for me, like say for instance, like I'm looking at his support of Trump, like, nigga, you ain't getting none of my money. I ain't. Not only are the shoes ugly, but then on top of that, you got all this other shit going on. Yeah, so I might not fuck with Yeezy. But there's a whole lot of y'all who do. And that goes back to that whole apathy thing we was kind of talking about before, where like you got a whole lot of people that just ain't really paying attention to this whole politics shit at all. So they not associating what Yeezy has been doing or what Kanye has been doing with his, you know, his political affiliations and everything else and what that could mean for their community and everything. They're not associating that at all, right? So the Yeezys are one of the most popular shoes out next to the Jordans, which is kind of crazy. But they're the most popular shoes out, right? So then you got not only that, but he actually he may be performing here in Detroit as I speak right now, because he had the Sunday service. Sunday service, I think it's supposed to be today. I'm not sure because I wasn't going to the shit anyway. I wasn't planning to, but Sunday service, right? So he's been doing Sunday services. He's gotten away from doing it in his Wyoming thing. And the Sunday services are now being across the country. So I know he's been in Atlanta. He went to Chicago. I saw a lot of people posting about it in Chicago because it was free, or whether it was free or not. He's doing one here in Detroit. I think he's doing it today. I'm not sure. But they were talking about it here in Detroit on the news. And they said, well, if you were looking to get Yeezy tickets, you're out of luck because those tickets sold out in like 18 minutes. Right. And I was thinking, huh, he was supposed to be canceled, but those tickets sold out in 18 minutes, which Which goes to show you, man, that like a lot of the bullshit that you're hearing about cancel culture is mostly just really rich white people. Like, wait, not white dudes. Really rich motherfuckers being mad that you that the people who consume their products are upset with them with how they've conducted themselves. That's really all this is. Some really rich dudes upset that you're telling them you don't like their shit. Same thing, like, so you got Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle does his Sticks and Stones comedy special. Some of the shit I found funny, some of it I didn't, but because mostly, like, it seemed as though it was a concerted effort to piss people off, a certain segment of the audience off. You got Bill Burr. He's got a new comedy special out on Netflix. I've yet to see that one, but most of the reviews that I've seen of that is like, he's somewhere in the same vein. Like he's mad at the social justice warriors. He's mad at the cancel culture and, everybody's too fucking sensitive. They can't just take a joke and all these other things. And as I've said on this show plenty of times, man, a lot of this, when it comes to these comedians, man, a lot of this is just their refusal to understand it. Like, yo, man, it's just, you're getting the pushback that you probably would have gotten years ago, that those people didn't have the voice that they do now. Now you got to hear from these folks. And because now you got to hear from these folks, you're a bit upset about it. And as a comedian, you could either rise above it and come up with some better material, or you can do what you've been doing and just like attack the people who are just like, yeah, man, like, yeah, that shit ain't funny. And here's why that shit ain't funny. So you got that going on. But you got Dave Chappelle, who just got paid like, what, $50 million or some shit like that to do Netflix. You got Kanye, who just who's got his concerts, his Sunday services are selling out. And who's got like the number two shoe in the country with his Yeezy, with his Yeezy products. He just dropped a new album, I believe. I got an alert on Google Play Music that he just dropped a new album. He's doing the gospel thing. Here's the other thing about Kanye, right, with the gospel shit, right? I don't know why, but it reminds me of, well, I do know why. It reminds me of, you remember back in the day when motherfuckers used to do the Apollo, Amateur Night at the Apollo, and like they'd be like, the song or whatever they was doing, they were singing, they might have been juggling or some shit, and the crowd just wasn't feeling it, right? And they always knew that if they fell back and just start singing a gospel song, a motherfucker would be out there juggling something, and then he starts singing Amazing Grace, and then they win the crowd back, right? Now I know I can't blow like I should, I can't, but I'm just saying. They win the crowd back, right? Then all of a sudden, yeah, because you ain't about to, you know, black people are some spiritual folks. They ain't about to like boo the Lord, you know what I'm saying? So you win the crowd back. And I just kind of feel like it's a cynic in me, man. Like this nigga done went out here, he done did all this stupid shit, start with the Trump support and talking about slavery being a choice and everything. And now he's doing his gospel and he's remixing R&B songs and the gospel songs and niggas are eating it up. And it's just like, man, it just kind of feel like, I fucked up. Let me fall back into the gospel and get the crowd back on my side. That's just kind of how I look at it. I know I'm being very cynical about this, but yeah, man, like the whole cancel culture shit though, because this is kind of like proof positive that it's not really a thing. If Kanye was never canceled, he was never canceled. Niggas never stopped buying Yeezys. This Sunday service shit, niggas have been going. Mad that they could not go. I couldn't get tickets. Fuck. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's the thing. Like I said, with Dave Chappelle, the whole shit, you know, being adamant about this being the worst time to entertain people, this, that, and the other, only because people are like, yo, man, we thought you were great. We thought you could actually rise above some of this bullshit, hack-ass jokes that you're telling right now. Now, yeah, truth be told, there's a whole lot of people who buy into that. Like, and here's the interesting thing too, because I know I'm blending a couple of different things together, but I'm really just getting to the crux of this whole, like, some of this cancel culture shit. So, like, say for instance with the Dave Chappelle shit, Rotten Tomatoes, a lot of the cultural critics were giving them poor scores on that, but then you had the audience who was like, nah, they overwhelmingly went over to Rotten Tomatoes and then they were like, nah, we giving it 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, fuck PC culture. Fuck all these snowflakes that are mad. They can't take a joke, this, that, and the other, right? Interesting thing about that is that Eddie Murphy, right? Eddie Murphy is coming back. And Eddie Murphy was someone who many people believe to be one of the greatest comics to ever do it, right? When Eddie Murphy came out, like, I remember him like watching like the best of Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live. I saw Delirious as a young kid, man. Like that, I thought that shit was hilarious. I saw Raw as a young kid. I thought that shit was hilarious. And one of the things I think is very that kind of gets lost in a lot of this, right? Eddie Murphy, when he did Delirious, I think he was 20 years old. I think he said so at the end of Delirious. I think he said he was like a 20-year-old man getting up here to tell jokes and hold his dick. You know, what a time to be alive, or like, you know, what a great time to be an American, and all this other shit. I believe like when Raw came out in like 87. So I was like 7 years old when Raw came out. People were talking about Eddie Murphy's return, and it was like, oh man, when Eddie Murphy gets back, you know, or better yet, people would say, well, like, that mean Eddie Murphy's shit was fucked up then. If you think what Dave Chappelle was saying was fucked up, shit, that mean Eddie Murphy's shit was fucked up. You think Eddie Murphy's shit wasn't funny? I'm like, yeah, for the time and before I knew better, yeah, this shit was hilarious to me, right? But then you would think like, it's funny how like you want to hold that and like keep that in like this amber capsule, as if that's all that it was. But like, even at the time, I think what happens is this, and I talk about this when we talk about like the social media. We didn't have social media in 1982-83. There was no social media in 1987. So to say that people didn't think that these things weren't offensive then is bullshit. Eddie Murphy in 1987 in Raw was talking about the backlash that he was getting from the homophobic jokes that he was telling on Delirious. He did a whole bit about it, about the fact that he had a lot of homosexual people upset with him about the jokes that he did in Delirious. That happened in real time. We didn't have social media to kind of like record it and go back to it and everything else. But even then, he acknowledged that in 87. Now, at the time, he was still unrepentant, because he was still a young man then too. I think he may have been 25, 26 years old at the time when he did Raw, right? But Eddie Murphy just recently came out and expressed remorse about the jokes that he told in Delirious and Raw. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of OKPlayer.com. It says, Eddie Murphy opens up to the New York Times in preparation for his impending comeback. In an interview with the New York Times, Eddie Murphy discussed the past few decades in preparation for his impending return to the spotlight. Over the next year, Murphy will have a starring role as Rudy Ray Moore in Dolomite Is My Name, host Saturday Night Live for the first time in 35 years, and star in a sequel to 1988's Coming to America. Additionally, Murphy will record a stand-up comedy special for Netflix, his first feature since Raw in 1987. When asked about the revered classics, Murphy revealed that he cringes at his old material. He admits he was dealing with a breakup at the time. I was a young guy processing a broken heart, you know, kind of an asshole, he said. Murphy references being picketed due to the homophobic material in his specials, which he now recognizes as ignorant, as recently as 1996. So, hold on. Which means 23 years ago, this man had already apologized 23 years ago for some of the things that he said in those comedy specials, Raw and Delirious. 23 years ago, he apologized. It says, additionally, there's no anxiety about returning to the stage in 2019. According to Murphy, his new material won't be as self-centered as his work in the 80s. As a father of 8 children, the experience is vastly different. I now have a whole lifetime of experiences to draw upon, Murphy said. There was a time when I was at the center of everything, what I was doing and how funny I was and how popular. I'm not at the center. Now my kids are, and everything revolves around them. So, I posted this story on my Facebook yesterday, and a friend of mine said that, it's kind of like he just kind of getting in front of it. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, he understands that the apology is worth more than, as a matter of fact, let me just go back and read it. Let me just go back and read what he, I don't want to just paraphrase it. What did he say? Where is it? Okay, so he says he knows the apology is worth more than the punchline. That's what was said. And so I'm of the mind that, like, Eddie Murphy understood, and I think a lot of us should understand, that over the course of 35 years, you would hope that somebody has grown from who they used to be. There's a lot of things that I don't do at 39 that I used to do at 25. And I look at my 25-year-old self and I'm like, man, what the fuck was you thinking about? Right? The idea that Eddie Murphy could look at his prior works and be like, I wouldn't do that today, kind of flies in the face of a lot of the defenses that people have been putting up towards artists like Dave Chappelle and Bill Burr, because they've been using, to a large extent, Eddie Murphy as an example of a time where people weren't as sensitive, right? That's pretty much what they're like. People weren't as sensitive. You can get away with saying a lot of these different things, and people just kind of took them as jokes. They was just jokes. But again, I told you, people, even in 1987, Eddie Murphy was acknowledging that, like, yo, people were pissed at him then. Like, the gay community was pissed at him then when he was making those jokes, and he made an entire bit about them being upset with him. But I think it kind of flies in the face of this whole idea that you can't be a great comic and, like, not go out of your way to offend people, right? If the joke is you offending people, then, I mean, I guess, I mean, it's kind of hack. It's a cheap joke. And I think the thing that, like, kind of, like, I guess bothers me the most about this is just like, yo, people don't necessarily like being told to be better people, right? People like not being shit. People like the freedom of not being able to, like, I like to indulge in ain't shit things. I want to do hood rat shit with my friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, we indulge in shit like that. We want that freedom to just kind of, like, let loose and be free and this, that, and the other. But at the same time, not necessarily recognizing that who we may be affecting in the middle, or, you know, while we're in the middle of doing all of that. And so Eddie Murphy coming out and be like, yo, man, I kind of cringe at that shit. And you see these people who've been making all these excuses and making all of these what's the word that I'm looking for here? Making all of these allowances, right? For people like Dave Chappelle and people like Bill Burr. They're making all of these allowances for them. And then they were using Eddie Murphy as, like, this is the standard. And now the standard is saying, nah, I was kind of on some bullshit. And then suddenly it's about Eddie Murphy protecting his bag, as if Eddie Murphy ain't been rich for a long goddamn time. Like, Eddie Murphy been rich my whole life. 39 years, you know what I'm saying? Eddie Murphy been rich for a long time. It ain't as if Eddie Murphy really needs to get back out here. He don't really need to. People are looking for him to do so, but it wasn't like that was always the case. I remember at a certain point, like, Eddie Murphy was putting some duds out. Eddie Murphy was, like, you know, shit, he wasn't even the headline. Like, I think, what was that? When he came out, he was in, he did that role in Dreamgirls. He wasn't the headliner in Dreamgirls. Beyonce was. As much as y'all talk about Beyonce not being able to act, like, she was the headliner in that movie. It wasn't Eddie Murphy. He wasn't the biggest star. And so, like, here you got this man has been separated from, like, comedy or stand-up comedy for 32 years. And he's telling you, like, yo, man, my life is different. I'm on some whole other shit. The stuff I used to talk about, yeah, I was kind of on some bullshit. I got my heart broke. And people don't want to hear it. It's going to be real interesting, like, to kind of see how, you know, how he navigates this and how the public navigates this, especially considering how everybody is on this whole fuck the PC culture, fuck cancel culture, when nobody gets, like I said, Dave Chappelle made $50 million off of doing that Netflix shit, but he's canceled. Yeezy is the highest paid hip hop artist in America in 2019, but he's canceled. The Yeezy shoes, are the number two shoes behind the Jordans in 2019, but Kanye West is canceled. Kanye West is going on tour with the Sunday Services and they're selling out in minutes, but he's canceled. Funny how that works, right? Funny how that works, man. So, yeah, man, like I said, it's going to be real interesting to see how people navigate around this, especially considering, like I said, Eddie Murphy is like, yo, I was on some bullshit. And because here's the tripped out part, right? Eddie Murphy saying, yeah, I was kind of tripping in, kind of fucks them up, because they're like, didn't that mean I might be tripping too? But they don't want to acknowledge that. That's why it suddenly got to be. Now, Eddie just protecting the bag. Like, it's just weird, man. It's just weird, like, watching this shit play out. But, yo, that has been Blue Blazes.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
But y'all know what time it is.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
That's enough of that shit. It's time for Proud to Be an American here at the Span Report Podcast. And our first story here in Proud to Be an American is actually going back to this. Well, not going back to, but we're going to talk about affirmative action. But we're talking about affirmative action in the opposite way, because apparently if you're white and you go to Harvard, there's a good portion of y'all who don't necessarily deserve to be there. And we're going to read why here in Slate. It says 43% of white students, Harvard admits, are legacies, jocks, and the kids of donors and faculty. So it says this month, a group of researchers have delivered a sobering look at how affirmative action works for affluent whites at America's most prestigious university. From 2009 until 2014, the paper Legacy and Athlete Preferences at Harvard finds 43% of the Caucasian applicants accepted at Harvard University were either athletes, legacies, or the children of donors and faculty. Only about a quarter of these students would have been accepted to the school, the study concludes, without those admissions advantages. It says the paper is based on data that emerged during the controversial lawsuit that accused the university of discriminating against Asian applicants, which gave the public an unprecedented look behind the scenes of the school's admission process. Closing arguments in that case wrapped in February, but the judge has not rendered a decision. The study's lead author, Duke University economist Peter Arcidiacono. I'm going to go with Arcidiacono. There we go. Arcidiacono served as an expert witness for the plaintiff's case, who are seeking to eliminate the consideration of race in university admissions. But the new research was conducted independently without any funding from the plaintiffs, according to a disclosure. And while that suit is attempting to end affirmative action policies aimed at helping blacks and Hispanics, this study focuses on the mechanisms that mostly give a leg up to Caucasians. So here's the thing. So this is why I always kind of chafe at this idea of, you know, like the whole pull yourself up by your bootstrap shit. You know, they've got to earn their place here. Many of those students, white students, wouldn't even be considered if it weren't for who they knew, if it weren't for their familial or their family connections. If it weren't for the fact that they were already rich. And yet you've got another minority seeking to disenfranchise other minorities because they feel like these other minorities are taking away opportunities for them, when at the same time, the people who least deserve to be there are the white students who are the majority of the population of that school or the student body. Many of them would not be there if they weren't legacy, an athlete, or the child of a donor or someone on the faculty. It's just kind of wild, man. Like, it's just kind of wild. I mean, this is something that we always kind of knew. You know what I'm saying? Like, as I mean, we always knew that there were certain advantages to being rich, white, and wealthy. Well, like rich and white in America. We always knew that those were. But the fact that the policies that were put in place to kind of level that playing field are being put under attack. And then we see the extent of the advantages that are given to rich white people in these institutions, man, is illuminating. But at the same time, you're like, eh, I kind of knew that already. Which is like the whole thing with that Felicity Huffman and the whole cheating scandal there. Her and the other was it Aunt Becky? I forget her real name, but like Aunt Becky from Full House. Like it's just you're starting to see more and more of how these apparatuses work and the level of privilege that comes with being rich and white in America to the detriment of other qualified students. But the people who are more qualified to be there oftentimes are people of color, but their being there is always questioned. It's always questioned as an affirmative action hire or an affirmative action admission, when really some of you motherfuckers don't deserve to be there either. You don't deserve to be here. I work my ass off. You don't deserve to be here. You're only here because your mama work at the school. You're only here because your daddy bought a building. I'm just saying, that's proud to be an American, man. But then also, like, the unfortunate aspect of Asian Americans feeling as though they're being discriminated against and they're attacking other people of color as opposed to the people with whom have been disenfranchising all of us. So yeah, that's I'm proud to be an American. Another story I'm proud to be an American, man, is that there's a woman in Florida who's facing fines because she actually took people in during a hurricane, but her homeowners association wasn't really fucking with that. Yeah, so we're going to read the story here. This comes out of Miami, CBSLocal.com. It says a Florida woman is facing possible fines from her homeowners association after letting a longtime family friend displaced by Hurricane Dorian stay in her home. Tina Lavallo says she let her friend stay with her because they had nowhere else to go. You know, doing shit that friends do for one another. She also let seven other Bahamians who lost their home stay at her house for just one night. Now her homeowners association is threatening fines if her friend doesn't find another place to live. So understand, I've never been a part of a homeowners association. And judging from most of the things that I hear about homeowners associations, I probably wouldn't be a good fit for one of those because I'd probably tell all of them to get the fuck off my lawn forcefully. Y'all know that kind of deal. Fuck out of my face. I pay the bills here, not you. To tell somebody that you got to get that motherfucker about your house or we going to fine you. Like, nigga, what is wrong with? Yeah. So it says now her homeowners association is threatening fines if her friend doesn't find another place to live. I do not understand how this association or any other community wouldn't have empathy for the fact that we were going through a very short period of transition. She said Lavallo faces a fine of $100 a day if she can't find a home for them by this week. So, yeah, man. Homeowners associations. Maybe y'all can write in or call in or some shit like that. Let a nigga know. But I don't think I would ever like. And I've looked at homes in like subdivisions and shit. Like, yeah, that looks like a nice place to live. But if they got homeowners associations, I don't know about that shit. I don't need anybody dictating to me how I can live within my home. Like within my home. Like, I get it. Like, sometimes y'all want the outside to look a certain way. Like, make sure you got the grass cut and make sure, you know. But, like, at a certain point, man, it's like, man, y'all don't. This is my shit. This is mine. I don't get it, man. I don't know if they're in, like, a condo or what. But, yeah. That's some American-ass shit for your ass, though, right? Homeowners Association. You got needy people in your house? The nerve of you. Oh, man. Fucking hate this place. Also in Florida, the governor in that state, Ron DeSantis, has now made it to where felons who just received the right to vote now have to pay fines and court costs before they can get their right to vote for real.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
We're going to read the story here. This comes out of CBSNews.com. It says that Florida felons will have to pay court-ordered financial obligations if they want their voting rights restored under a bill signed by Florida Governor, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis on Friday. The legislation requires those with felony convictions to pay court fees and fines to be eligible to vote. During the spring legislative session, Democrats argue that such a restriction goes against the spirit of the constitutional amendment voters passed in November. Amendment 4, we talked about that here on the show when it happened, which restores voting rights for felons other than convicted murderers and sex offenders, which was approved with a 64.5% vote. The language in that amendment said felons must complete their sentences. Republicans interpreted that to include restitution, court costs, fines, and fees imposed by a judge at sentencing. DeSantis echoed that interpretation in a memo that accompanied the new law. Senate Bill 7066 enumerates a uniform list of crimes that fall into the excluded categories and confirms that the amendment does not apply to a felon who has failed to complete all the terms of his sentence, DeSantis wrote. Democrats said this creates a hurdle that voters didn't intend when they approved the amendment. They also argue that the original intent of the felon voting ban was to repress the minority vote because minorities historically have been disproportionately convicted of felonies. Now, going back to the whole thing of Candace Owens saying that your vote is extremely important, but it won't be important in a couple more years because the Hispanics are taking over and the Hispanics are trying to override your vote. The Democrats want them to come override your vote, right? Wrong. Wrong. Because the motherfuckers that she supports right now are actively trying to keep you from voting, are actively trying to keep you from the polls. This is a poll tax. Poll taxes were things that were implemented back in the Jim Crow era that were actually taking out, I believe, during with the Voting Rights Act of 1964, where they could not, where Southern states couldn't exactly, they couldn't implement laws like this that were targeted towards disenfranchising voters of color. Because these were tactics that were used before. You had to have a literacy test. You had to have a grandfather clause. Well, if your grandfather can vote, then therefore you can vote. Well, if my granddaddy was a slave and he couldn't vote, then that disenfranchises me. Right? Republicans, by and large, are out here disenfranchising voters all the time. All the time. So it was real rich to hear Candace Owens get up on that goddamn revolt stage and say that your vote isn't really going to mean much in the next 5 years or so because Hispanics are taking over and Democrats won't open borders and all this other shit. Meanwhile, Republicans are actively trying to keep people off of the rolls. The voters in Florida, the vast majority of the voters in Florida was like, nah, man, get them the right to vote. That is an attack on Republicans because Republicans understand that the more people have access to the ballot, the less appealing their policies tend to be. Right? Republicans are only governing for if you really want to keep it a buck, Republicans are governing for the minority in this country. The fact that they have power positions in many cases is kind of an indictment upon the system. In a way that, like, yo, they've been able to maneuver and outflank, the system in a way where they can misuse their power to disenfranchise other voters to maintain their level of power. And this is yet another example of that, where the governor decides and the Republicans decide, well, okay, yeah, they get the power to vote, but only after they pay these court costs and these fines. Like, nah, that wasn't the spirit of the law. That wasn't the spirit of the bill. And so for you to make an addendum to that, to make your own rule in spite of what the public has already said they wanted, yo, man, like, that's some Republican ass shit to do. So, again, as I've said on the show many a time, man, if your vote wasn't important, they wouldn't be trying so goddamn hard to take it away from you. This is a poll tax, and they are actively doing this in Florida today. Yeah, man. Go vote. Go vote, man. Make sure you go vote. Now, we're talking about the whole voting rights and everything. There was a video, as a matter of fact. Let me see if I have this. Yeah. We were talking about voting North Carolina. There was a congressman in North Carolina who actually got caught trying to gerrymander his district to kick the black voters into another district. Hold on a second. I don't want a white. Okay, let's just. Okay, there we go. All right. I got ad blocks on. A lot of these sites are trying to, you know, show me ads, and I just don't want to. But yeah, man. So in North Carolina, there was a senator who got caught trying to gerrymander his district. And when he got caught on video trying to gerrymander his district, y'all know this motherfucker just said, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and retire. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of rawstory.com. It says that North Carolina Republican State Senator John Alexander has announced that he will not seek re-election after he was caught trying to gerrymander his own district. Alexander made the announcement on Thursday after he was seen on video Wednesday making changes that would have made his district a safe Republican seat while representing many Democrats in the Raleigh area. The changes were pointed out on Twitter by John Bisangano, executive director of the National Democratic Redistricting Committee. Follow the tweets below. So, okay, so in the tweets, they got the video. Let me see if I can pull this video up so you guys can check this out right along with your boy. Let me pull this up. Let's share the screen. There we go. And, all right, so let's check out this video. Oh, this isn't the video? Oh, there's screenshots of the video. You can watch it live here. All right, so let's do that. Let's watch it live here. Oh, this shit is... I'm not about to watch this whole 11 hours and 50... Nah, okay, cool. They caught this nigga on video. God damn. No, so they caught the motherfucker on video trying to gerrymander his own district and disenfranchise voters again. Disenfranchised voters again. Republicans are continuously trying to do this to make their these are how they keep themselves in power, by trying to game the system, by trying to rig the system to where even though you go take your behind to the polls, it doesn't affect them being mooted out. This, along with voter suppression by with the exact match law that's going on in Georgia, where you got polling places, you got many states where they have one polling place per county, you got many places where there's certain voter ID laws where they know certain folks don't have certain IDs, man. Like, there's a concerted effort to keep you away from your franchise, to keep you away from expressing what you feel should be going on with the government. If your vote wasn't so important, man, they wouldn't be trying to disenfranchise you in that way. They wouldn't be trying to take your vote away from you. And yo, man, that's proud to be a motherfucking American.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless.
Y'all know what time it is.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
We got our ass hat of the week this week here on the Span Report podcast, man. And our ass hat of the week is actually a double dose. You get a double dose of this ass hattery, man. And our first ass hat of the week is a woman by the name of Heather Patton. Now, Heather Patton is an ass hat this week because Heather Patton took it upon herself to go to a CVS and call black people niggers, said that she wanted to kill all the niggers, and that the only reason she doesn't kill all the niggers is because the law says she can't kill all the niggers. She has been dubbed Ku Klux Klan, Ku Klux Karen on social media. So we're gonna read this story here. This comes out of the Washington Post. It says, as the white woman screamed in the drugstore entrance about wanting to lynch her fellow shoppers, it didn't take long for the cell phone cameras to come out. You know what? This video. So let's just play the video. Let me pull this up so we can watch the video. All right. Let me share this. I'm going to do this again so we can all watch this woman lose her goddamn mind. But check this out, y'all. As video loads.
Huntsville is the Rocket City.
Okay, there's an ad playing.
We have so many new crews.
So I don't want to hear any of this right now. You can skip this ad in 7 seconds. I will. All right, Skip. Oh, I gotta unmute it. Let's go back.
Yeah, she's on drugs or something.
No, I'm totally. I just hate.
Calling the cops on you.
I would
you're
kill.
Disturbing
I would
in.
Kill. But the law says I can't kill the. If the law didn't say that I couldn't kill, they'd all be dead. Where's my license plate number?
Okay, so here's another thing. So she's saying nigger, and Washington Post like are blurting it out. I would much rather they just said, fuck it. You said it was graphic material. Just play the goddamn video. But, so, interestingly enough, she's like, yo, there's my license plate. I'm in this group. I mean, it's like this car group where people are really upset when people cover up the license plates of cars they're taking pictures of and shit. It's real weird. It's a real weird argument people are having about license plates and whether or not you should show people's license plates. And where you can track people through their license plates, man. You know the make of the car. You know the damn model of the car. You see the license plate. You can track people through that, you know, through those means. She's clearly off her fucking rocker. The interesting thing about this is that, you know, she later came out and apologized, of course, after she lost her job, you know, like, you know, it became blaming on the alcohol with her. It came out that she had prior incidents with a neighbor who had to get a restraining order against this woman. Yo, man, these are the things that I've been emboldening, right? And so, or again, like a person like a Candace Owens to get her ass on the stage to say that white supremacy isn't a problem, is not one of the things he worries about as a black American in the country. You got shit like this happening in California, Orange County, California. Yo, man, ass hat of the week. But she's not alone in her ass hattery. She's not alone. There's another story. There's Officer Dennis Turner. Officer Dennis Turner is an asshat this week because Officer Dennis Turner decided it would be a good idea to arrest a 6-year-old for throwing a goddamn tantrum at school. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of CBSNews.com. It says authorities say that a Florida police officer has been fired and is being investigated after arresting 2 6-year-olds for separate incidents at their schools. He done arrested 2 of them? Oh, man, this nigga. Said that officer, CBS Orlando affiliate reports that Officer Dennis Turner was previously suspended pending the outcome of an internal investigation by the Orlando Police Department. The arrests were on unrelated misdemeanor charges, authorities said. All charges against the children have since been dropped. Police clarified Monday that both of the children were 6 after initially describing one of them as an 8-year-old. The department's policy requires an officer to get the approval of a watch commander before arresting anyone under age 12. That didn't happen during last Thursday's arrest. One of the children was processed at the Juvenile Assessment Center before being released to a family member. The child's gender wasn't released, nor was the reason for the arrest. The other 6-year-old was returned to her school from the Juvenile Center and wasn't processed after a transport officer found out approval wasn't obtained. So, I don't know if there's anything a 6-year-old could do that warrants being arrested. I don't know if you could discipline a child. I know at 6 years old, there's a lot of things that a child does not simply understand. Their brain is still developing. But to treat that 6-year old as though they were an adult in full awareness of, what the consequences of their actions would mean. Like, I'm sure a 6-year old didn't think that kicking another 6-year old or throwing something at another 6-year old will result in them going to jail. And it should never result in them going to jail. I know we got scared straight in America, man, where like we send these kids to drill, you know, make them feel like, yo, this is what your future is going to be like if you keep fucking up this, that, and the other. But the kid's 6, man. 6. 6. 6, man. You an ass hat, dog. Officer Dennis Turner, or former Officer Dennis Turner. Wear your ass hat with pride, dude. Because you're part of the ass hat of the week here at the Span Report Podcast.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here! The champ is here!
We got a double dose of that champ of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast too, y'all. But we're going to go with our first one. This is going to surprise the fuck out of y'all, man. Whoo, y'all going to be surprised at this one, man. This is not on brand for your boy Span. It's not on brand at all, man. But the champ of the week this week, or one of the champs of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast, is none other than the Lexington, Kentucky Police Department.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. I know. It's crazy to me, too. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy to me, too. But, yo, man, so I know I give cops the business here on the show, rightfully so, because they do a lot of fucked up things, man. But I kind of feel like it's only right when they do the right thing that they should be highlighted for doing the right thing as well. And so, the reason why I selected the Lexington Police Department as champ of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast is because we've been talking a lot about open carry and a lot of the stores like Aldi and Walmart and CVS and many different department stores. They're asking customers to no longer open carry in their stores. And a lot of people have decided that they want to test this theory out. They want to test whether or not, you know, how they're going to be received at a Walmart after being asked not to open carry their firearms. Well, this one dude in a Lexington, Kentucky store found out that he was going to get banned from Walmart for life for his decision to walk in and open carry after Walmart has expressly asked folks not to do so. And we got video of this. So let me pull this video up so you guys can watch here right along with your boy. And here's his reaction, man, is priceless. But I also want to give kudos to the cop for pretty much explaining to him, like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And this is part of the reason why, like, the open carry people just, like, I just don't really fuck with them. Like, as a gun owner, as a Second Amendment proponent, I'm like, man, y'all some stupid motherfuckers. And his entitlement is everything. But the way that they explain this to him and why this is a thing, the fact that he's chosen to be willfully obtuse about this, I appreciate the cop explaining to him why this is an issue. So we're going to go ahead and let this video play. Check it out. Okay. Jesus Christ. So this is also a right winger posted this video. So that's probably where you got the, yeah, all that shit. But yeah, they posted the video. So let me from the beginning.
You waiting on a manager? Fuck, I've been waiting on all that.
So what they're gonna do is they're gonna wait on a manager. Okay,
so right now this guy is surrounded by a couple cops.
You're not in trouble with us.
Yep, okay. I appreciate it. I apologize, you guys. I apologize.
So we'll have now the manager here. Okay, they're gonna apologize.
And they've gotten the manager.
So if you don't mind, just English for a second. Yeah. If you don't mind, hold on to this until we're done. That's all right.
Can I please hold on to the phone?
Yeah, that's fine.
Everything you answered.
Okay. So as a gun owner, this shit here is peak white privilege right here. Right? Never in the many times that I've been, in the many times that I've been pulled over, and I'm dealing with police officers, and I have my firearm on me, and they take my firearm away from me, never do they give me both my firearm and my ammunition and allow me to load my gun up in their presence. Never has that happened. This man asks the police officer, could he have his firearm back? The police officer hands him the firearm back, allows that man to put rack around in the slot, and then put his clip in. Like, he allowed him to do all of this in the store, gave the man his gun back and everything. They never allowed me to do that shit. I have gotten my gun back with all of the bullets taken out of the clip and the round taken out of the chamber. But they never gave me my gun back with everything intact and allowed me to load my shit right back in front of them. Never.
So here's the deal. Okay, they're gonna serve you the no charge. Okay. Given what's happened today,
can I purchase my items?
Hey, the manager, she's saying that they don't trust me.
Hang back right here till we get done with it. Yeah, they're finished up there.
Can I still purchase my items? I'm about to spend like $80. And I've just purchased, I've been in other Walmart, purchased like stuff.
So he's asking, can he purchase the items that he already has in his cart, and they're telling him no.
Well, can I pay? I at least need to pay for my drink that I did get when I started drinking. At least I pay for that.
This is for you.
This for this store only?
Nationwide.
So right now, the police officer is serving him some paperwork where he has to sign off. And it's basically an acknowledgement that Walmart is banning this nigga from every last one of their stores nationwide.
Nationwide, I can't. Are you recording this right now?
And Sam's Club. Sorry.
And Sam's Club. Good thing I'm not a member.
I'm sorry, Colby. I just got here. Do you realize what you've done? I mean, like.
All right. So here's the part where the cop is really about to explain to him, like, why the fuck this is a thing. Like, you acting all like, I just want to pay for my items. Are you recording this? Like, he's real, like, kind of nonchalant about everything. He's thinking that everybody's overreacting. This is on the heels of there being mass shootings in Walmart stores recently. This is on the heels of Walmart asking customers, specifically open carriers, to not open carry in their stores. Like, come on, bro. Like, stop being a dick. If this is really about your amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights, then what part of it, like, is about intimidating people in the stores? If it's really about that, cover your shit up. Get your license to go ahead and carry concealed. Stop being a dick. So right now, this officer is about to address this dickheadedness that this guy is going through right now.
Like, what's going on in the world?
Yeah, I totally get
the response that you get, and... Yeah, whatever your issues are with the Walmart store.
I feel like a Walmart should have somebody behind the counter.
And that's nothing that a Facebook Live video is going to fix. What that does, right, though, is that it gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 officers driving their lights and sirens.
Yeah,
we just had people get killed at a Walmart in a mass shooting.
Yeah, oh, totally. And that's why I carry firearms.
We put the entire public at risk to a certain extent every time we do that. Okay, I understand... Your feelings about what they need to do here and all that, but what you've done here tonight is this response.
Okay.
Okay. That's the issue that we've got here. We're not saying you committed a crime or anything. But
I know I didn't.
It's not a good idea to be doing that. I mean, look at what we got. You know.
I did absolutely nothing wrong. Yeah. So this is every store.
Yes.
And who is she that signed this?
They're just the store managers.
And the store managers have this right to do this. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe how many thousands of people are banned. If you steal a candy bar and you get caught, they ban you. Alright, they have the right to do that, so.
Well, I at least do need to pay for this.
They said that's fine.
He keeps it. Let me at least look. That's another thing too. That's some white privilege shit too. Like, these motherfuckers be grabbing shit off the shelves, drinking and shit while they walking around the store. He's talking about some, well, let me pay for this pop that I bought. They're like, nah, man, it's cool. Just get the fuck out. Just get like the store manager's like, nah, man, we ain't even worried about that pop. Just get the fuck out.
Cowboy up.
Can I purchase this stuff? Like, if he gives me, can I purchase this stuff?
That's up to them. If you're with them.
Yeah, so now they're talking about, okay, so here's a message from, like I said, this was a right-wingers who posted this video. It says, boycott Walmart. Walmart has for too long been a killer of mom-and-pop businesses. Now you care about them killing mom-and-pop businesses. Now they wish to kill our rights. Stop shopping at Walmart. Not only did they violate your rights, they made it even more dangerous for your family to shop there. Who will defend you when the real criminal comes in with a gun? Well, a concealed carrier, maybe. They didn't say you couldn't carry. They just said, put your shit up. Cover it up. If you really believe in the whole good guy with a gun thing, right? They didn't violate his rights. They just said, hey, man, this is private property. You can't carry here. You don't have that same right. Like, they're gun. Like, you can't go to a government building and carry a firearm. You don't talk about them violating your rights there. You can't go into a movie theater legally here in Michigan with a firearm. You can't talk about them violating your rights there. Like, come on, man. At a certain point, it's like, come on, be a motherfucking, be smart. This is just being dickheaded about it. So, yeah, man. The Lexington Police Department in Kentucky, man. I'm sure they done probably fucked up someplace else and did some real fucked up shit to somebody. And I'd be like, man, fuck them niggas. But on this instance today, Span is saying there's some police are the champs of the week this week at the Span Report podcast. Now, I said it was another champ of the week this week, and this is kind of personal, but, you know, fuck it, it's my show. My nephew, man, my brother has a son, his name's Derek. He looks just like my brother, man. Like, he's like, it's crazy how much he looks like my brother. But my nephew, you know, every now and again, he'll hit me up. He's like, yo, what's going on, Unc? How you doing? This, that, and the other. But this week, man, he decided that he wanted to hit me up to tell me that, like, he had a football game this weekend and he scored 2 touchdowns in this football game. And he had 3 tackles in the game. 2 touchdowns, 3 tackles. I'm like, all right, boy, do your thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you got that young Span athleticism. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can't take credit for it because he ain't my son, right? But it just so happened I was on his Instagram and I noticed that he had a sign. Is him and a little friend of his said she can't, I can't keep Con, number 37 is my best friend. And I asked him, I said, do you wear number 37? And he said, yeah, I wear, that's my number. And like, it kind of hit your boy in the feels, man. It hit your boy in the feels because I wear that number. Like, I wore that number in high school in tribute to my mom. And I wore that number in high school in tribute to my mom. And it was just like kind of freaky that he was wearing that number. And I told him, like, because he never met his grandmother. He never got a chance to meet her. Like, and I was telling him why I wore the number and why that number was, like, important to me. And, like, as far as, like, you know, sports wise and everything. And, like, every jersey I've ever worn since high school, man, especially if it's got my name on, it's got number 37 on it. And when I told him, you know, the reason why I wore that number, my nephew told me that, like, yo, from here on out, that's his number, that he's going to wear that, you know, as tribute to his grandmother, the grandmother that he never got a chance to know. And as you see, you know, it got your boy in his feels, man. And so, yo, my nephew Derek made your boy feel good. And he's a champ of the week this week here at the Span Report podcast, man. Real talk. But it's time for your man Span to get on up out of here. Gotta go. But of course, before we get up out of here, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Span Report podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails. And of course, those emails will get read here live on the show and responded to here as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about that business, man. We really do appreciate you guys. You can go to our website, www.thespanreport.com. Go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we put one up. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. And also, you can go ahead and go to our store, man. Get yourself some merch. Get yourself a t-shirt or something. Get yourself a thermos, you know, because it's getting cold outside. Keep your warm drinks warm. Get you a thermos and all of that good stuff, man. Get a hoodie. It's hoodie season coming up. So, yeah, we're going to get up out of here. And I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam.